Good morning. Everybody enjoying the warm weather? I'm ready for summer. Anybody ready for summer? Anybody like this weather? Kevin, put your hand down. Gosh. Well, we continue our series on Believe this week. But before we start, I started thinking the other week in church on this believe idea, and I started thinking, wait a minute, do we believe? Forget the 40 weeks, that word is pretty important. Do we believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? I want to be very clear this morning when I speak, because sometimes words are confusing. And I do not want to confuse you. I realized a couple months ago how important it is to be clear. Because a couple months ago, Debbie and I were in Ireland watching a football game. Doesn't matter who it was, Penn State. And we were having a great time. And we had a couple of free days. And so we went down to the hotel one day, and we wanted to see this castle. And didn't know where it was. So there was a doorman there at the hotel. So I said, you know, we want to go to this castle. He goes, oh, it's a great place. You'll enjoy it. He gave us directions, went there. Really a neat place. Built in the 1200s, and it's still standing. I don't know if we can build things today that would stand. Mr. LaRook, this church will be here, let's see, it'd be 1200. That's a. I don't know how many years, hundreds of years. Anyway, this castle's still standing and in great shape, okay? Anyway, we had a great time. So when we came back to the hotel, the same doorman was still standing there. And, you know, he recognized us and he said, you find the castle? And we said, yes. And then he asked me a question. He said, did you have crack? And I said, what? He said, did you have crack? And I said, no, I'm on staff at First Church of Christ, you know. As far as I know, they don't allow you to do that unless, do you? I don't. Anyway, I said, no. He said, oh, I'm too bad you didn't have crack. And I said, what? And he said, oh, wait, you're American. Yes. He said, you don't understand. In Ireland, crack means good time. I said, oh, okay. I felt pretty good, you know, and none of the church family was around. Hey, I had crack, you know, it was a good feeling. So the rest of the week, you know, Debbie and I just, every time we do something, if I, you know, we had a piece of toast in the morning, man, this is crack, you know, we just kept doing it over and over again, you know. And a long time ago, I told you that some days I have a disease. And the disease is I talk, and then I think, okay? So, we fly home. It's always good to be in the soil of the United States of America. If you've ever been overseas and you came back, it's always a great feeling being back on soil. However, when you come back to the United States of America, you have to go through this little thing called customs. Thank you. You guys are smarter than I am. So, we wait in line, and it's finally our turn, and because we're a couple, we can even go up there together, which we did, and the custom agent, the same question they ask everybody is, business or pleasure, and I said pleasure, and then I said, and we had crack. And he put his pen down, and I said, we had a lot of crack. In fact, we're having crack right now. I mean, we're traveling, it's fun. I'm just wondering if anybody here in my church family would have come and got me. I see no hands. Thanks a lot, you know? I can just imagine me calling John. John, it's Debbie's fault, first of all, John, but we're in jail, you know, and so anyway, I want to be clear today, okay? Now, the question again is, do you believe? Okay, do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus? Believe in the Son of God? Have you accepted him? Is he your Lord and Savior? And so if you believe all those things, you believe his word. It's very important. You believe his word. Because why I want to be clear today is the subject. And, of course, the subject is giving. It's not talking about giving, oh, I have some gently used clothing, and I'm going to donate them, or I'm going to give an hour to the local food bank. This morning, chapter 19, week 19 of the Believe series is giving. It's about money. And, of course, John is not here. So in November, when he said, I won't be here on the 11th of January, of course, me, you know, I go right to the Believe book. I said, John, I have to give it, you know? So here it is. It's this week is on giving. And I want to be clear. It's about money, okay? We're talking about money here. And we're talking about your money. Now, there's a couple words I want you to remember this morning. I want you to remember the word clear, because I want to be clear. I want you to remember the word important, because you're going to hear me say important a lot. And I need you to hear the word bookends, okay? You know what a bookend is, bookends? You know, you have one bookend here, one here, right? So before you have two, you have to have one. So we're talking about the first bookend right now. You got it? First bookend. This is important. I want to be clear. You got it? Video number one. This is the bookend, the first bookend.
The pocketbook says, my money is the key to happiness. It's the key to power. It's the key to peace. It's the key to success. It's the key to capitalism. It's the key to producing purpose. And it's the key to finding love. That's my money. I wonder, do you know it? My money is a supreme money. No debased deceiver can debunk its buying power. It puts bread on the table. It makes me feel stable. It's the core of consumerism. It is beyond criticism. It has no euphemisms. Do you know it? It wakes me up in the morning, and it keeps me up at night. It is the reward that I hoard. It dictates my day. It divides my attention. It's the big Benjamin. It's the cherished cheese. It's the green gravy. It's the lean lettuce. I wonder if you know it today. It has motivated every great person in all of mankind. It is incorruptible. It is indestructible. It is the translation of technology. It is the prescription of the powerful. It makes my heart appeased. And it's the only thing that puts me at ease. Do I want more of it? Yes, please. I wish I could describe it to you, yes. It's uncomfortable. It's uncontrollable. You can't get it out of your mind. You can't get it without demand. Without it, you can't get by. You can't buy without it. The world can't function without it, and it lasts for all eternity. Yes, yes, that's my money. Go ahead and clap your hands if you need to, because that's my money. That's my money.
Who's your master? You cannot serve two. So we have a key idea each week, and the key idea is on the screen. I give my resources to fulfill God's purpose. I give my resources to fulfill God's purpose. Read it to yourself. I give my resources to fulfill God's purpose. God's grace should encourage you to give. Important. Not because you have to, but because it's a privilege to give. Key idea. I give my resources to fulfill God's purpose. All right, each week, also in addition to the key idea, we have a key verse. The key verse is out of 2 Corinthians. Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, See that you also excel in the grace of giving. Read the verse to yourself. How do you perceive your money? How do you perceive your money? Is it your money or is it God's money? It's a good question. Is it your money or is it God's money? Maybe you feel, hey, Don, you shouldn't talk about money in the church. I don't like that when you do that. It's easier not to give a sermon on giving. It's much easier not to, because we certainly don't want to offend anybody. But then I had to ask myself a question. Do I want to offend people? Or do I want to offend God? Jesus never said that money is evil. Never said that. Rather, money, it's a symptom of an underlying problem. And the problem is the love of money is the root of all evil. So we're talking about your money this morning. What are your habits when it comes to money? I came across this quote from Will Rogers. Too many people spend money they earn to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. And of course, the famous actor Steve Martin said, I love money. I love everything about it. It lets me buy good stuff. I bought a $300 pair of socks. I bought an electric-powered sweater. I bought a fur-lined sink, and I bought some other dumb stuff, too. So what is your money about? What's your habit when it comes to money? What are your priorities when it comes to money? Are you pleased with your money management? Are there any changes that you want to make with your money? Beginning a new year, we talk about New Year's resolutions. Anybody here maybe have a resolution about their money? What should you do differently? Important, very important. We need to go from I can't afford to give to I can't afford not to give. Important, God is not a beggar. So I'm not here begging for God. Rather, giving, and more importantly, we're talking about tithes, and we're talking about our tithe. We have to realize something. It's not our tithe, it's God's tithe. Giving our tithe to God, his tithe, should be, number one, an act of holiness. In Exodus, we come across this amazing passage where it says, the priests, the elders, said, you need to stop giving. We have too much. We have too much. Stop giving. Can you imagine, and we can't, but can you imagine John coming up here and saying, guys, listen, we're not taking offering anymore. We have too much. It's hard to believe, but yet in Exodus, that's exactly what happened. They had to tell the people, stop giving. This is important. What we need to do is this. Not pay all our bills and then give to God. Because when we do that, what we're saying is, God, you can have the leftovers. Fortunately for everyone in this room, God didn't do that for us. Because he didn't give leftovers, he gave his son. So we don't have to spend eternity in hell. Rather, we can spend it with him for all eternity. Very, very important. Not what's left for God, but what can we give to God first? First fruits. Another thing about tithing, it's an act of obedience. You know, basically you're saying to God, you know, I believe, I trust, and God trusts you even more. Maybe with more money. Maybe. I'm not saying that's going to happen. but it's an act of obedience. The Bible says, you love me, obey me. If we truly love God, if we truly love God, we're back to believing, because if you believe, then there's obedience follows right after that. It's not two separate things. It's connected. If you believe, then we need to talk about obedience. Important. I hope you know this, but if you don't hear it, you can never, never, ever, never outgive God. It is impossible to do it. You can't outgive God. You know, many Christians love to give God credit. For example, I got a new job. I give all the credit to God. I got that new job. I give all the credit to God. I got this promotion. I give God the credit. What they don't want to give God is their cash. We give God credit, but we don't want to give him our cash. In preparing this sermon, I came across this statistic, and it's a scary one. Here's the stat. You're not going to like it. Tomorrow, everybody in this room, we lose our job, okay? And everybody in this room goes on welfare tomorrow, okay? Next Sunday, everybody in this room ties their welfare check, giving goes up 30%. It's a scary stat. Again, imagine in Exodus, no more. We have more than enough. Also, this giving of God's tithes back to him, it's an act of love. You know the story of the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and says, you know, Jesus, now I heard about this eternal life. That's what I want. Well, what do I have to do? Jesus says, well, you need to love God. He goes, oh, wait, God. Man, I do all the commandments. I've got them all down. I know them. I have them memorized. I do them all. And Jesus says, oh, yeah, all that stuff you have, go sell it and give it away. And what's he do? He walks away. Very sad. What do you love more than God? You love your job, your house, your possessions, a car? They're all his. And his rightful place is number one. Tithe. You know, there are good points to tithing. There are some really good points. You know, one very, very important point of tithing, it's an evidence of a growing faith. If you're trusting God and giving these tithes, that's evidence of your growing faith. It's also showing that God can trust you with even more. Another thing, it reminds me of God's ownership, because everything we have, he owns. It's his. And lastly, maybe most importantly, when we give him his tithes, you know what we do? We start focusing not on ourselves, but on other people. Martin Luther said a long time ago that when man gets converted, he really needs to get converted three ways. He needs to get converted with his heart first, and he needs to get converted with his mind, and then he needs to get converted with his wallet. He needs to get converted by his heart and his mind and then his wallet. Question. If faith has not reached your wallet, how do you know it has reached your heart? If faith has not reached your wallet, how do you know it has reached your heart? Well, some of you people are probably a little uncomfortable right now. First of all, you don't like the fact that I'm not behind the podium, that I'm down here. Like, ooh, gosh, I hope he doesn't pick on me, okay? So you're uncomfortable with this topic, maybe. Maybe you're uncomfortable with Jesus. Here's some evidence. Approximately 36 parables in the New Testament, okay? Approximately 36. 16 of the 36 are on the subject of money, okay? Well, let's look at Bible verses, just the number of Bible verses, okay? Number of Bible verses, approximately. On the subject of healing, about 100 verses, okay? On the subject of blessings, about 400 verses. On the subject of faith, about 500. On the subject of prayer, about 500. A lot of verses. How about on the love of God? 700 verses in the Bible about the love of God. On money, 2,000 verses. Wow. Wow. Important to remember the following statement. Important. You're not giving to God, you're returning it to God. Because again, it's not ours, it's His. You're not giving it to God, you're returning it to God. 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a what kind of giver? Man, we all know that. You know, I know you have seen the bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. Now, I lived 7 years in Miami, and I know better to start honking my horn, you know, because that can cause you death down there. But here's a better bumper sticker. Not honk if you love Jesus, but honk if you tithe, any fool can honk. If you've never read the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, we don't talk a lot about Malachi, great book. There's a dare, I really believe it. I believe it's a dare from God to us in the book of Malachi that says, give God his tithes and see if God will not open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings bigger than you can even compare or imagine. That's a dare from God. Don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger, okay? That's what it says in the book of Malachi. And then it says, God even says, I'm going to test you. Give God his tithes and see if God will not open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you can't even imagine. Now, here's something that does not make sense on paper, okay? So for you accountants or financial planners or whatever, bear with me for a second. Let's pretend that we all make $100 a week, okay? And, of course, we tithe, and you people are intelligent people. You know that would be 10%, would be $10, so we would give $10, right? This is what the world doesn't know. And on paper, it makes no sense. But it does with God. God can take your $90 that you have left and do more with it than you can do with your $100. It makes no sense on paper, but it makes sense with God. Okay, it's a great story here. I came across this story a couple weeks ago, and it's a story about Africa. And there's a certain group of people in Africa that love to eat this particular type of monkey. It's a delicacy. Now, I know what you're thinking. So did I. Oh, my gosh. Eat monkey. However, when I was a kid, my grandmother used to eat scrapple. No offense, but the older people are shaking their heads. The younger people, you don't know what scrapple is? Trust me, you do not want to know what scrapple is. Anybody here like scrapple? Oh, gosh. Roxanne puts both hands up in the air. So anyway, this group of people in Africa, they love to eat this monkey, okay? But they couldn't catch it. And then they finally found a way to catch the monkey. And this is what they did. They got a box, a simple box. They filled it with fruits and nuts. And the monkey would go to it. And they put a slit in the box, and they could reach in the box. And the monkey reaches in the box, grabs it, but he can't bring the his hand back because he has a fist now. And they say, in this story, they said that monkey will stand there for days not letting go of that fruit and nuts. He won't let go. And basically, they just come over and knock him over the head and they eat him, okay? And I just wonder, when I saw this story, I just wonder, anyone here not letting go of God's tithes? Or is our hand in the box? And oh no, we won't let go. Do you trust God? Do you really trust God? Then trust Him with your money. 2 Corinthians, God will pour out blessings in astonishing ways. Remember I said to you, I want you to remember a couple words, and one of the words was bookends, okay? Now, you're intelligent people. You remember the first bookend? The last bookend. Watch.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king. Amen.
Bookends. First bookend, that's my money. Second bookend, that's my king. You cannot serve both. You have to decide. you personally have to decide which bookend you want. That's my money or that's my king. That's the choice. If you don't know about Jesus, I'd love to talk more to you about Jesus, especially if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Today's a great day to do it. I would love to talk to you about it. That's the most important thing today, more important than money, is you having a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for loving us first. We rejoice in a very humble way of thanking you for what you did. You did not give us leftovers, but you gave us your firstborn son, your only son, that we might be with you for all eternity. That it's a gift from you to us. It's a free gift. We don't pay for that gift. You've already given it to us. It's right there. All we have to do is reach out and accept the greatest gift ever given. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear about the fact of how much you love us. Oh, how you love us. Thank you, Jesus. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.